Welcome to the Conversations Podcast. We are in for a treat today because we are recapping Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, and I'm joined by not two, but three special guests. First, we're joined by lead pastor Jose Averoa. Jose.
Old table this morning.
Welcome back. Yes, see we are joined by Ken and Tom. I could almost let y'all just do your own intros, but thankfully everyone got a chance to hear probably more than you tell most people on a Sunday through the power of your testimony. So guys, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Good to be here.
Yeah, I want to start off by asking you, what's it been like after Sunday? Conversations, things that people have maybe shared with you. I want to just thank you again, like Taylor said, for being vulnerable and being willing to share something that God has truly done in your lives. Tom, your physical resurrection, and then Ken, you being open with your struggle with alcohol. So that just was a huge gift to me personally, and I know to many others. So I'd be curious to hear, what's it been like since Sunday?
Well, at my house, a lot of the people that were at the house, and we had a house full, went to the service and didn't know that I was part of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and
you
so,
kept that a surprise.
Yeah, we
they didn't know it was the after party.
I didn't want them to jump up and say, I know that guy. He's a fake. So it was great. You know, I mean, it was a lot of fun. And you know, honestly, I felt like I was going to be nervous going in, and I wasn't. And it was fun to tell the story. I think it was actually said, not by me, but by somebody, probably you or whatever, but it's a good story. You know, it's something where, you know, there was a hero. It wasn't me, okay? And you know, but the good part about it is I'm here to tell about it.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't die, but
there was a hero, and that hero was God, and God's produced all of this for us. So
yeah, through you, Ken. One question for you: what were you doing on the phone? You said your phone was in your ear.
I was talking to 911.
You were talking to 911. Yeah, I was curious.
Yeah,
I should have asked you that earlier.
He had a phone call to make.
I was talking to my broker while we were going through this. No,
I do this CPR thing all the time.
Yeah,
so I can multitask.
Yeah, 911. That's who it was.
What's it been like for you, Ken?
It's been good. My children also didn't know that we were
really
going to be a part of it. They were totally surprised when I first came on. Hallie was like, "Hey, that's my dad up there." So, yeah. So it was really good, and I've had a lot of feedback, and people seem to really enjoy it. Think it was good.
One of my favorite parts about Sunday, you know, it's always a fun time of celebration, but it usually brings in a lot of people that don't always come to church on a regular Sunday. And so one of the themes, Jose, that I really appreciated that you kind of reiterated over and over is that not only is resurrection available to everyone, but also every day can be Resurrection Sunday. And I felt like y'all's stories, just the way that, again, your vulnerability and leading up to the moment at Durango's and just how God worked in that way, I think invited a lot of people to realize that it's okay to not be perfect, and we're going to have, you know, and yet God is available for all of us, and the resurrection power is available for all of us. I'd love to hear y'all's thoughts just even a little bit more now that we have time on the podcast. Just what is so significant about that being available to the everyday person, especially those that may have been there on Easter?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that the truth of the matter is everybody's got a story, okay? And realistically, that's just one story in my life. You know, it's a dynamic story. It's, you know,
it's good for Resurrection Sunday.
Yeah. It's great for Easter.
It really did.
Was good and all that. But the truth of the matter is we all have a story.
Yeah.
And that one had a happy ending. Mm. But the real significance of it to me is that everybody needs to have that story and how it relates to Jesus Christ. And that gives us a chance to talk. And it happened in our family that day, you know, to talk to our family, you know, brothers and sisters that were here to visit, and our children and grandchildren, you know, and it kind of opened the doors to, you know, well, what'd you think about that?
Yeah.
And so it was, don't get me wrong, we didn't have another church service when I went home. It was all about making fun of people and
food
and picking on each other and everything. But there's, you know, there was that element of, you know, that was Uncle Tom up there, you know, and so there, and it was fun to share that story with the family.
Mm.
Mm. A lot of them didn't even know.
Yeah, and it was a shock.
We didn't broadcast it or anything like that after the event, but it was, so yeah, it was fun to share it with them.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I just agree that Resurrection Day is available for us every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I need it because, you know, I'll fall and then Jesus just picks me right back up. And that's the beauty of the whole thing is I don't have to be perfect. Jesus was perfect for me. And he's the one who delivers that for me. And I just try to remember every day that, you know, he truly does take care of that. Even though I can't manage it on my own, he picks it up and carries the ball for me. So,
yeah, Lamentations 3 is a powerful chapter. It's a bad episode in the Old Testament where there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of suffering. People are living in exile outside of their homes, and it's truly, a devastating season for the Israelites. And yet in Lamentations chapter 3, it says, "This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. God is with me. His mercies are new for me every morning." And I think that in the narrative of the resurrection, it's really neat that it says that at dawn, at the beginning of the day, they went to go see the tomb and they found it empty. And that again is even the second layer that brings power in the story for me is that we don't know how Jesus resurrected. We don't know what that was like. We don't know how breath entered his body. We don't know how he exited the tomb. All we know was when the stone was rolled away, he wasn't in there.
Yeah.
And what we do know is that the empty tomb served as evidence for us that Christ can also do the same thing for us at every dawn, at every morning, that his mercies, his forgiveness, we can have a second chance every single day. And just to piggyback on what you guys are saying, that's super encouraging to me.
Yeah.
That's the truth and the power of our faith, that he forgives us and we can be honest with him. And when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us each and every time.
And not only is that a one-time event, growing up in the church, I feel like there was so much focus on salvation and the kind of that one moment and that one accepting and receiving resurrection power. But I'd love to hear y'all's thoughts on just what it's looked like since then. Tom, you mentioning that there's many other stories throughout your life of God showing up. And so for someone that's listening going, okay, I may have done that as a kid growing up, like in a vacation Bible school or just, you know, in a Sunday school or something like that. But now they're facing trials, they're facing tests, they're not sure where they're at with God. How has that journey been for y'all since then, as far as continuing to pursue God and that resurrection power, even just once you have salvation and are saved?
There's a lot of different examples. You know, I don't want to go into a long story about all the events in my life, but there's just been periods where the only way you can explain the good fortune that came from certain situations is that, you know what, God stepped in and prevented me from making that big mistake or falling off that cliff or sometimes saying the wrong thing. And kind of at a loss for words for how to describe it, but there's there are so many times in my life when I things could have turned out so much worse than they did.
Yeah,
and I'd stop and look at it and I think, man, that was a close call for me, and all, you know, almost blew it, but
God,
thank goodness, God stepped in.
Yeah,
and we talk about that renewing every day. I'm going through some pretty scary things in my life right now, and I was just reminded of Jeremiah 29-11 through 14.
Yeah.
And
same season.
Yeah.
They're in exile. Yeah. Yeah.
And it just really reminds me, and it's for God, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. And if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations I sent you and bring you home again to your own land. And that really gives me hope, because right now things are a little uncertain in parts of my life. But I know that through my life, Jesus has just shown me over and over again how faithful he is to truly take that up and take care of me and deliver that every day in my life. So
that's so good, Ken. And again, I love the context there, because that's a bad season. So that's a good verse in a bad season.
Yeah.
And if we're honest, we need resurrection power in the hard times. And we also need resurrection power that comes outside of our life. So there's a lot of sources of power. One is internal power, right? Like our own personal battery and our own personal gifts and capacity to do certain things. And then there's a ton of other sources of power that we can plug into in this world. We can plug into the power of money, the power of popularity, the power of influence, the power of creating a social media firestorm of some sort, or the power to gossip, the power. I mean, those things have power. Mm-hmm. You look at other faiths, you can devote yourself to worshiping idols. That has power.
Yes.
But only the power of Jesus can resurrect something that is dead or sin and redeem it to life and use it for good. Not only for the person, but here's the beauty of Jesus. It blesses everybody.
Yeah.
It's good for all.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't just bless the individual. It's actually an agent of change for families. And I certainly have seen that in my life. So many times.
I think you're just seeing agent of change. I think about something the four of us have all been a part of, which is Men's Encounter, which we just had just 2 weeks ago. And one of the questions that we talk about is how one of the simple questions the enemy used from the garden till he uses now is, did God really say? And just putting doubt in some of those things, because you accept Christ, whether it's at an early age, late in life, whatever season that's in. And then there's still going to be times where the enemy's going to, whether it's a whisper or whether it may feel really loud sometimes, just doubting God's faithfulness, doubting God's plan for your life. And so I think that's another aspect of that I've just been reminded of, as far as even though I have, you know, just a relationship with Christ and I'm continuing to pursue him, there's still going to be times of testing and trials. And so, Ken, I love how you're clinging to scripture and just going back to who God says he is, who God says that you are, that we are. I think that's super important. Something that isn't lost on me is that all of this happened. Yes, you were at Durango's, but it was just off of a men's community group.
Yep.
And I would love for y'all to speak to the power of community in the connection to all of what we're talking about here, as far as not going it alone on our own strength. Y'all have been, we're filming this or recording this on a Thursday. So you just had your men's group earlier this morning.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So what's the power of community and just how that's played a role in what God has done in your life?
That great question. The truth of the matter is that community continues to grow, not so much in numbers, but in strength.
That's great.
And you know, when the event happened with me, I'm told, because I don't remember anything after passing out, that while CPR was being done on me, they were all gathered around me in prayer. They're praying for me. And then it's my understanding that they prayed for me. Of course, that was at the restaurant. They prayed for me at the hospital. And then I was life flighted to another hospital, and they prayed for me there.
That's right.
And the community group that were involved in there, that strengthened us.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of grows that community that much closer, so that when we gather together like we did this morning, there's not much they don't know about me. Okay. They kind of know the whole story. And through the sharing that we have during that time together every week, I've gotten to know all of them. And, There's a lot of times language used that you wouldn't use in church because you got a group of men there that, and quite frankly, they're shooting from the hip. And it's like
they're being real.
They're being real.
If they don't like what you're saying, they're going to call BS, but they're not going to use the initials. They're going to use the words. And so it's, you know, but it's real. And honestly, there's a, I like to think that that's a real community in itself. And that's it's, there's guys that I can trust, people that I can rely on. And if I'm in need, they're going to be there. And I feel that likewise, I feel like I owe it to them to be the same. So
quick little story before you share, Ken, because this is noteworthy. 2020, Ken asked me, "Hey, I want to get a couple of guys. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
I want to get a couple of guys together and just read scripture." And so we started with four guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Outside of the church because 2020, and we met every week, and that group of four guys has now turned into over four groups.
Oh, absolutely.
That have multiplied because the need is so great.
It is.
For men to have this place of belonging, this place of being real, not coming with this, facade or this idea that you have to be somebody that you're not. Just come.
Yeah.
Show up. Ask the hard questions. Be who you are in the moment.
Yeah.
And then watch God start changing and molding you. So,
yeah.
Just so
glad. And
that's
really what I love about it. So when I was talking Sunday morning after the video, I truly mean if you can find a group of people to be real with, God, when you shine light on those little things, God truly is able to remove those from your life. And it's just been incredible for me through community group, the growth that I've had in the last 5, 6, 7 years. So, but
God has continued to grow me personally just in doing that very thing. And I'm so appreciative of our church that values that and just shares that. But I know some that are listening, and I'd be here too at times, where being vulnerable sounds even scarier than possibly having a medical event or something like that. I mean, it's like, no way could I open up, bring my stuff to the light. You don't know what I've done. I don't know what they're going to say. So how have y'all just grown in that and navigated that? Was that something that's always been easy for you? Did you have to kind of step out of your comfort zone?
A lot of nodding heads.
No, it is not. It is not a normal thing for me. And I like to keep all my little things hidden. Over time, sharing those things, finding out I'm not the only one going through this. And sometimes I feel like I'm the only one. Nobody will understand this. But being in a men's group and really being vulnerable and sharing things, you realize, hey, you're not the only one going through that. And there's a lot of strength in that, sharing that and just realizing, hey, other men are going through this as well. And so I'm getting a lot of help, but I'm helping a lot of people at the same time. So, yeah.
Tom, what would you add to that?
I've taught Bible study classes for decades, not at this church, but at my previous church. And that was one of the things that I found, is that just opening up that door for people to share what they're going through each week, in small groups and classes that, and all, and being able to relate that to God's word from Scripture, was a huge impact, actually for them, but on me as well, because everybody's got a story, everybody's going through an issue every week. There's not a week that goes by that somebody doesn't come in there and say, man, I've really had a problem this week, and I've really had a struggle here, and somehow or another, you've got people that you're surrounded by that can relate to you and be there for you and understand what you're going through, and so that's really one of the benefits of being in a community group like that. I've always loved that aspect of even just a simple Sunday school class. It sounds like so elementary, It's not.
Yeah. You know, it's two things. It's information. We need to know the story of Jesus.
Yes.
We need to know what Scripture says. That's our guiding principle. So that's our anchor. That's what helps us and corrects us and keeps us on the page. So we have to open up Scripture. And then the second is what you're talking about, Tom, allowing it to transform you.
Right.
You got to take it personally. Sometimes in church, we just want to keep it in our heads and just keep it at the informational level. What do you know about this? And what's the background of this verse? All good things, but you got to make the journey from your head to your heart.
Yeah.
And truly allow the Word of God to transform mm-hmm. how you're doing. And that's where we want to create safe places, no matter how you're doing.
That's
just
right.
Come.
Yeah.
Experience the Word of God, and more importantly, see the power, the resurrection power, the life-changing power that it has in your life.
That's one thing I love about our group is we'll go through a verse in the Bible, and then a lot of times at the end, we'll go, well, what does that mean today?
Yeah.
I mean, we truly realize how living the Word is, because it is just as, it's the same today as it was 2,000 years ago when it was written. I mean, we're having the same problems, and we see how God moved in their lives, but we bring that into the room and say, what does that mean for us today? You know, what can we do with that?
Someone that maybe attended Easter with a neighbor that hasn't been to church in a while, or a family member or something like that, that this maybe sparks conversations. How do we be a safe person for someone to confide in, to kind of cultivate that safety? Because I know we just talked about, you know, everyone should go find that place to be yeah. real with a group of men or women and be able to be there. But just on the other side of that, how do we continue to be safe places for people? Because y'all two are very safe people to go to. So what are the ways that you kind of would encourage others to be safe places as well?
Well, first of all, I can't speak for Ken, but for me, I've got a history myself. Okay. I've got a background. And so, and a lot of people are familiar with it, know it, and say, you know, Tom, you're not an angel. Okay. But that's just being real. And so the good part about that is that I can look at somebody else and I can understand, you know, I can see where they're struggling with certain things, you know, with things they've done or the way they've acted or mistakes they've made in life. I've probably done them all, okay? Short of killing somebody, I haven't done that yet, but that's
you've done the reverse.
Yeah.
You know, you've done the reverse. You've come back from the dead.
But that's, you know, I think the biggest part of relating to people is understanding where they're coming from. You know, if they don't know you and if they don't know your story, it's hard for them to build trust and to open themselves up to you. And, you know, the truth of the matter is that the people that, you know, we've had into our home and we've shared our life stories with and all that, you know, I think that's if there's something that's attractive about coming into our house, it's the fact that it's not that fancy, okay?
It's homey.
Yeah.
It feels like home.
This is a place where you can be comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to worry about spilling coffee on the table or anything like that. You know what? It wipes up, but it's a place where you can just come and relax, let your guard down, and share your story.
And
quite frankly, speaking for my wife and myself, we love hearing other people's story. Mm-hmm. It's really not about us, and so yeah.
I think it's about being out there and not being so guarded that you can't relate to people. So I love going out and just being with the people and trying to be real and hopefully, you know, people can be real with me as well. So
yeah, there's one group of people that that Jesus was very serious, consistently with, and rebuked them over and over, and it was the Pharisees, the religious rulers. And oftentimes we think that at church we need to be responsible for other people's behavior,
right?
And so we take the posture of disciplinarian. Let me tell you what you're doing wrong, and you need to be more like me. And there's a place for that, and there's a time for that type of confrontation, for sure, especially those, our children, number right. one.
Yep.
And then two, those closest to us. We can lovingly bring the truth. But I do think that this whole notion of safety is huge. And either we are cultivating compassion for others, we are making room, like you guys do so well, Tom, you and Melinda in your home, to hear other people's stories. Ken, every person that you meet, you say, hello, my friend, yeah. you know, you greet them with a smile, no matter who they are, what they've done. That is the joy and the passion that Jesus has for all. And it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. Now, when I realize that it's his kindness and I'm feeling guilty and convicted, that there's fear there.
Yes.
I mean, he's so holy. Mm-hmm. He's so loving.
Yeah.
That terrifies me.
Yes.
What a love God has for rebellious and sinful people. So if we are able to cultivate that compassion for people on a daily basis, we're going to create safety in our hearts for those people that are far away from God. We're going to create safe places for our family members, our children, you know. And man, I don't know about you guys, but that's a daily thing for me.
Oh yeah.
That's absolutely. Not always easy to cultivate that type of compassion.
Yeah.
But I think that's the name of the game.
Yeah. I just try to remember that big log in my eye before I start looking at other people's specs. So, and, you know, that's just kind of where I want to live.
Have you ever taken a log out of someone's eye?
Ken, no.
Physically?
No.
No.
I have taken fish hooks out of people's eyes.
There you go.
Yeah. So not necessarily a log, but yeah.
It's getting too graphic for you, yeah, Taylor.
Don't ask.
Yes.
Don't ask me what I've done.
Don't ask questions to Ken.
There's a lot of things that I've done that people do not want to know about.
He's going to one-up you every time.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of the reason why I'm asking, but let's...
Oh, my gosh. No, I really do sense the humility just in both of y'all and just that very nature that, Jose, you were talking about, that we all need the cross, that we all need just the resurrection power, not just once in our life, but just continually in our life. I think about just going back to this idea of community and just the ability of not only wanting to be a safe place, but to be a safe place to other people. Sometimes people steer away from spiritual conversations because they're worried that someone might ask them a question they don't know about or get in the weeds in an area and they're like, well, I didn't go to seminary or I'm not a pastor on staff. So I'd love just while y'all two are here as a treat, just to encourage and kind of how would you maybe just answer to someone that's like, well, I don't know the answers. I haven't been in church for 30 years, so I don't know how to navigate how I would tell my story. What if I say the wrong thing? I could just see people putting a lot of pressure on themselves to kind of have those conversations with neighbors, friends, other people.
I don't know that there's a formula for it, mm-hmm. but I will tell you, you know, we had the whole family visiting us, or a lot of the family visiting us over Easter, and my nephew, who's a grown man with three kids of his own, was and his family was with us, And they were all down by the river fishing, and he and I walked down there. We're just sitting on the grass, talking, watching the kids fish, and you know, I'm struggling with, you know, what do I say? And you know, and I didn't want to pry into his business. He had been to church with us, and he's been to church with us before, and so we know that we have this background. And then he starts sharing with me that this was a point he was making to his Sunday school class. And I said, that's interesting. Who teaches your class? And he said, well, I do.
Wow.
And so I said, oh, wow, I didn't know you even went to church.
Yeah.
And I didn't say that to him, but that was my thought process. Yeah. And come to find out, he leads a Bible study class.
That's great.
And it was just very encouraging. And the reason I say that is so much of the time I don't bring it up because I'm afraid of hurting somebody's feelings or offending them or coming off holier than thou or yeah. whatever. And so I don't know how you get there, but I do know that that if you talk long enough, God's going to come up in the conversation.
It's good.
And it's the point of speaking. And actually that's something that I've always said, that it all conversations eventually lead to God.
Hmm.
They do. If you talk long enough, you can't get around the fact that
you go to the source.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think that was something that a conclusion that I came to 50 years ago in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, where we got into, we always talked about our sports and one yeah. thing and another, yeah. but eventually. Somebody would say something, and then it leads to a moral dilemma that you come across. And at some point, somebody's going to say, "Well, I'm a Christian, and we can't do the certain things, and because of our belief in God." And eventually,
it all points to God.
Yeah,
it
all conversations eventually yeah. come around to God.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you believe? What's your stance? How do you feel? Why are you that way? So
that's good. Ken, yeah. what would you add to that?
Well, when people come to me and they say, "I don't know the answer," I probably say, "I don't know them either." But but we know somebody who does, or we can look it up together and make it work. So
yeah.
I don't have this gigantic biblical knowledge. I want it, but I also worry about, am I getting that just for an ego? Or am I truly learning the Word of God so that I can comfort myself and comfort others as well? So,
mm-hmm.
And so I do have this thirst for knowledge now, and I want it to be a good, healthy thirst that I can take it on my heart.
Yeah.
And that's why I really try to ask that question is, yeah, we read all this today, but what does this mean
yeah.
to me? How does this relate in my life today?
So. Yeah, I'll add this because I talk every Sunday or almost every Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and it's a danger because I want to make sure that I'm living what I'm preaching.
Yes.
Or if I'm not living it, call out the bridge between why I'm not living that
yeah.
and the hardship behind that mm-hmm. in my humanity. And so to me, the key is humility. It's being real with the fact that I'm not God. But I follow God,
yeah.
and I want to become more like Him. And we're all on that journey.
Yeah.
And if we do that, then I think that gives us that boldness to, we can have that conversation, Tom, like you had with your nephew. We can be bold and bring God up, knowing that we're doing so with love, and we're not doing so by trying to one-up
right.
yeah. or be the guy that has all the answers, because
yeah.
I'm with you. I'm still learning and growing and excited for what's to come, and we're out of time. And so I just want to close by saying thank you. Thank you again for being real with us and for sharing your stories. Tom, I love that we filmed in your home and that the inside of your house was now opened up to all of those people that came to maybe seek what the power of Jesus is like. And Ken, the way that you gave us an insight of how Jesus has saved you from addiction and the strength, again, I'm just tying all these things that I saw, the community group aspect and you guys doing that. It may be time to multiply soon, given how many men may show up 6 a.m. on Thursday morning. It is an early time, but I have a hunch that some may find
you
it.
You mean 6 a.m. at the EMS station on 220 Twilight Trail? Is that what you're saying?
At the EMS station, men, see you all there. Women, there are plenty of other groups
yes.
that meet. But again, what a gift to do this life with you guys. Thank you again for Sunday. To God be the glory. And looking forward to our next conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations Podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.